2 Chronicles 36, 1-23. Devotional Focus Verse. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. 2 Chronicles 36, 15-16. When warnings go unheeded, catastrophic consequences may result. That was the case in 1889, when a record-breaking storm hit the Johnstown South Fork area of Pennsylvania. In 24 hours, nearly 10 inches of rain fell. Local streams became raging torrents that poured tons of water into Lake Conemaugh, a reservoir created by the South Fork Dam. Early on the morning of May 31st, the president of the private club that owned the dam was alarmed to see the water had risen so high that the dam was in imminent danger of collapse. He and others tried to relieve the pressure by increasing the height of the dam and then by attempting to dig spillways, but their efforts proved futile. At last, they telegraphed a warning to cities in the valley below that the dam could fail at any moment. They begged people to take to the hills. Tragically, that warning was not heeded. For years, the dam had been poorly maintained, causing frequent speculation among the people living below it that it might not hold in a flood. However, there had been many warnings in the past when the water level was high, and each time the dam had held, so the supposed danger of its collapse became a joke around town. That joke became a grim reality on May 31, 1889. A historical website describes, at approximately 3 p.m., the South Fork Dam gave way. In less than 45 minutes, 20 million tons of water poured into the valley below. Roaring down the narrow path of the Little Conemaugh River, a 70-foot wall of water filled with huge chunks of dam, boulders, and whole trees smashed into the small town of Mineral Point and swept away all traces of its existence. Next in line was Woodvale, a town of about 1,000, that the torrent smashed with equal ferocity. Scouring its way towards Johnstown, the flood picked up several hundred boxcars, a dozen locomotives, more than 100 houses, and a growing number of corpses. The residents of Johnstown heard the speeding wall of death, a roar like thunder. Next, they saw the dark cloud and mist and spray that preceded it and were assaulted by a wind that blew down small buildings. Next came the great wall of water that smashed into the city, crushing houses like eggshells and snapping trees like toothpicks. It was all over in 10 minutes. Ultimately, the flood killed 2,209 people, making it the worst disaster in United States history at that time. The people of Judah had adamantly refused to submit to God and obey his commandments. In today's focus verses, we read that they mocked the messengers who warned of God's impending judgment and despised their words. Consequently, God fulfilled his word and sent judgment. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed and the people carried into captivity. We want to learn from the judgment that befell the people of Judah and make certain we heed the instructions and warnings given in God's word. Sometimes obedience may be inconvenient or even painful. However, the price we ultimately pay for neglect is catastrophic. How much better to obey now? In eternity, we'll be ever so glad that we did. Background information. The final chapter of 2 Chronicles is a greatly abbreviated version of 2 Kings 23:31 through 25:30. It summarizes in verses 1 through 13 the reigns of the final four kings of Judah: Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, also known as Eliakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, also known as Mattaniah. Verses 14 through 16 concern the corruption of the priesthood. The last chaotic years of Judah as an independent nation are covered in verses 17 through 21, which describe the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the people at the hands of the Babylonians. The final two verses of chapter 36 concern the decree of Cyrus regarding the rebuilding of the temple. After the death of King Josiah in battle, The reforms he had instituted were soon set aside, and the people reverted to the wicked ways they had followed during the reign of Manasseh. They made Josiah's fourth son, Jehoahaz, the king, but he only reigned for 3 months before Pharaoh Necho of Egypt forcibly removed him from the throne. According to verse 4 and 2 Kings 23:34, Jehoahaz, also known as Shalom, was imprisoned in Egypt, where he died just as the prophet Jeremiah foretold in Jeremiah 22:11 and 12. Necho changed the name of Eliakim, Josiah's older son, to Jehoiakim and put him on the throne. Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years, and according to verse 5, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. His 11-year rule was marked by injustices, oppression, greed, and murder. Babylon was fast becoming the new world power, and after overthrowing Syria in 612 BC, Nebuchadnezzar waged war against Necho and defeated him at Carchemish in 605 BC. While Jehoiakim was king, Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, taking away hostages from the nobility and royal families, including Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Jeremiah had prophesied this 70-year captivity. See Jeremiah 25:11 and 12. While Babylon invaded Judah twice more in following years, this specific attack is documented by the Babylonian Chronicles, a collection of tablets discovered in the 19th century that are currently stored in the British Museum. According to 2 Kings 24:1, Jehoiakim initially submitted to Nebuchadnezzar, but then rebelled against him. In response to Jehoiakim's rebellion, Nebuchadnezzar again came up against Jerusalem. Verse 6 of today's text records that the king was captured and bound in fetters. Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, became the next ruler of Judah. The statement in verse 9 that he was 8 years old when he began to reign likely should read 18 years old, according to the record in 2 Kings 24:8. 18 is the most probable due to his having wives. See 2 Kings 24:15. He too did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and ultimately surrendered to the Babylonian assault in just 3 months and 10 days. At that time, the temple was looted, and thousands more of the people of Judah, including the prophet Ezekiel, craftsmen and artisans, and royal personnel, were deported to Babylon, with King Jehoiakim among them. This exile occurred in 597 BC. Verse 10 records that after Jehoiakim surrendered, Nebuchadnezzar placed his uncle, another of King Josiah's sons, on the throne of Judah. According to 2 Kings 24:17, his name had been Mattaniah, but was changed to Zedekiah. This final king of Judah reigned for 11 years and continued the evil practices of his predecessors. According to verses 14 through 16, the priests and the people joined in the wickedness and rejected the strong warnings of Jeremiah and other messengers of God. Verses 17 through 21 describe the resulting death and destruction that came upon Jerusalem. The account in 2 Kings 25:1 through 12 provides a more detailed record. It indicates that the city of Jerusalem was besieged for 18 months and then destroyed in 586 BC. The temple vessels were taken to Babylon, and the temple itself was burned. Nebuchadnezzar had King Zedekiah's sons killed in his presence and then put out his eyes. Then Zedekiah was carried to Babylon along with the remnant of the Jewish population, except for the poorest of the people who remained in the land. The final two verses of this chapter are essentially repeated in Ezra 1:1 through 4. Most Bible scholars agree that these verses were probably added later in order to indicate that the history of Israel found in 1 and 2 Chronicles was continued in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Conclusion: God judged the Jewish people because they failed to heed his messengers who warned of the consequences of continuing in disobedience. Let us purpose in our hearts to pay close attention to the instruction given in God's word so we avoid the judgment of God.